Hello and welcome back to the 10 Pint Podcast. We're here with me, Lucas Normal, and Beefing.
You alright, lads?
And today we are here with the Anfield Rap, are we, fellas?
Good, yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for coming on. So normally we'll get started off with, if anyone doesn't know, what is the Anfield Rap?
So I go, the Anfield Rap is it's a footy podcast, video, writing as well. I mean, we're all Liverpool fans really who've started it and have sort of, you know, developed it, but we do like general footy and stuff like that. We've got a you know, Premier League shows and stuff, but it's primarily Liverpool supporters. And yeah, started just over 10 years ago now as a kind of a just an outlet for us really to talk about footy, to get in the room. And you know, we didn't really think it'd turn into what it is now, but it's grown over the years to a subscription service. Obviously the video and stuff now as well is doing really well. I'm I think it's 12 or 13 full time.
Is that how
many there is, yeah? Yeah, so that's been the nicest thing, really, growing it like that and giving people work, you know, in the city. Do you know what I mean? People who want to work in football, and, you know, we can't give everyone a job, unfortunately, but we have, you know, employed people and also helped other people in terms of, like, coming in and doing bits and then going on to other things as well. So, yeah, it's a cool success story. It's a lot of work, but, like, it's what we love, isn't it? Like, you know, a lot of people obviously will listen to this as a huge footy fans, be it all Liverpool or Everton, and so to be as cool that your job is, we're very lucky, really.
Yeah, it's great. It's not as glamorous as, like, it might look on Instagram sometimes. Just it becomes a normal job, doesn't it? But, you know, it's exciting to be able to sort of, you know, talk about Liverpool and like share the experience of what it is to be a Liverpool fan, and also like something we try and do is like celebrate the city, the people within the city, like, you know, shine a light on like the initiatives and stuff happening in different communities around the city. That's like also like a very important part of what we do as well. So yeah, it's just getting bigger and bigger, really.
What did you both do before you started the Anfield Rap?
So I work for a market research company, so completely different. So all the women on with surveys on the street who bother you, like they sort of
it's your fault.
I'd send them out and then it'd all come back in, and then I used to do like write reports and say what it all meant. So very, very different. And I remember the Anfield Rap started, I wasn't on the first few, but Neil, who's our main host, I knew him. Quite a lot of us knew each other through Spirits of Shankly, and that's sort of, you know, how a lot of it got going, really. And so I knew Andy, who'd set it up, and then Neil, who's the first host. And when I first heard it, I thought it was brilliant, and I did nothing like that before. Like, I did fan podcasts, because this is like, you know, it's, as I say, it's over 10 years ago now, but I did fan podcasts, but they were like really badly recorded and just sort of, you know, two people chatting over like a crap internet connection or whatever. And then there was a few other podcasts. I think The Guardian one had already started, but, you know, it was just journalists. It was a very stuffy kind of thing. And so I never heard anything that was really well. They used to hire Par Street to do it on a Monday morning. And like, yeah, they forwarded them through the Fair Play through the Dowen each week on a Monday morning, and I just got a proper producer and stuff like that. So it was always like, even when there was no money coming in, it was ambitious what they were trying to do. So I heard the first one and said, oh, you gotta let me on, I just loved it. And then I think about, you got sick of me after about 10 weeks and let me sort of come on, like. And so yeah, but it was just the idea of football fans, you know, the conversations we all have anyway, be that in the pub or when you get into work on Monday, like talking about the match or whatever, but doing it in a way that, you know, is a bit more structured than obviously were to go out to, you know, to Liverpool fans around the world. But sort of didn't expect so many people to listen and to engage with it, and to mean like so much to so many people.
Do you remember what your first video was about? Do you remember like what happened that week type thing?
The first season we did. So it was podcast. We didn't start the videos for sort of quite a while. It was podcast at first, and the first season was an interesting one. Actually, it was like Dagalicious just took over. Yeah. So it was, as I say, it was just after the Hicks and Gillette stuff, but we sort of knew each other from that. So that was a big incentive in doing it, really, because it was like that. All that proved that fans needed a bigger voice. So could this be sort of part of that, really? And then the first season was it was after, like, as I say, Hodgson had come in, Darren worked, obviously, Kenny had come in, and then it was the season after that, so it was Kenny's first year, so it was an interesting one, because it started all this optimism, because he'd been brilliant as temporary manager,
yeah.
And then it all just started sort of to go downhill, and then by the end, like, everyone had to sit around and go, there's an episode that, that people still talk about now, which is called, like, We Need to Talk About Kenny, because it was basically all these people in a room who idolised Kenny Dalglish going, like, I think we might have to sack him, you know, and it was just horrible, but people still talk about it now, because they were like, it was very honest, and it was authentic, and it was like, you know, respectful, but having that difficult conversation, and so that was a real, that was the first, one of the first big episodes I remember, yeah. Like,
it's like, if you think about, like, before fan media, or, like, anything like this, where you can hire a studio like this, or build your own, it was the radio or the news that you sort of depended on to get your football news, and, like, I remember just watching, like, Sky Sports News all day, and, like, I can't think of anything worse than boring. That now, because yeah. It is boring, yeah, it's just it's the same old shite,
yeah.
And then, like, obviously fan media comes along, and it's, like, this different perspective, where it's, like, they're not just talking about what's happening on the pitch, because we're all watching what's happening on the pitch. What they're talking about is, like, the celebrations afterwards, or just giving their authentic feel rather than, like, a story, like, creating a story around something and then, like, stoking up. It's just, like, genuinely what, like, you know, match-going fans think of. And I think that was, like, I was a listener before I joined the Anfield Rap, and then I basically just, like, nagged them to get on, I'll be honest. And I worked the marketing, I do the marketing for the Anfield Rap now. So I just had, like, marketing jobs at different things before it, and then 5.5 years ago started working for them.
It's been quite successful then since you joined.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is. It's the marketing fella joined.
Well, it was funny because when he first came in, like, we hadn't done any marketing at all. Like, we just relied on, like, basically people finding us. And so we come in and, like, just did these things. They were, like, you know, probably quite, you know, straightforward, yeah. But, like, we're like, fucking hell, do you know what I mean? This is brilliant, you know what I mean?
I'm only met. Like, I mean, there's a couple of things that we've got lucky with. Like, I joined about, it would have been a year after Klopp came in, and then obviously there's a lot of success, like, happens after that, but, like, I mean, I just took the things that were really good about the Anfield Rap and tried to get as many people seeing those things as possible.
Have you noticed, like, a boom, do you know, since, like, Liverpool signed players like Salah, do you get more listeners from, like, Egypt and stuff like that?
Not Egypt. We've got a funny story about Salah, actually. We did a t-shirt. Am I allowed to tell that story about this? We're here now. I haven't started. We got this new t-shirt with Mohamed Salah, and it had, like, his full face and the kit and everything. We didn't know much about, like, trademarks or, like, laws or anything, but we got the t-shirt, stuck out, and I thought, being, like, the marketing fella, had set up Facebook ads targeting Egypt to see if, like, people in Egypt would buy it. And what actually happened was Salah's lawyers saw it in Egypt and got in touch with us, and we had to take it down.
Yeah, we didn't have a clue about merch at first. We were just like, oh, yeah. Just whack a football on a t-shirt, it's fine. And, like, and then, like, Liverpool were like, nah, it's not you.
Why did they not do that, though? Like,
it's,
do, like, they own the rights?
Yeah, it's image rights, yeah.
Yeah, so some footballers don't care, and Mohamed Salah cares a lot, actually. Yeah.
As people do anyway.
But I think, like, transfers are the big thing. Like, fucking everyone loves transfers, don't they? That's, yeah. Like there's just
from
but it's like, it, like, I think people like the newness of someone. It doesn't matter who it is, like, just as long as Liverpool signs someone and then everyone gets excited. Like, our like, in terms of listeners and stuff, last season our best day was when Luis Diaz signed.
Yeah.
Even better than beating United 5-0, which, like, still blows my mind. That's, to be crazy, honest, like, I just don't,
yeah.
It's one of the things I just don't understand, really. It's just, like, this excitement around something that comes out, like, a transfer that comes out of nothing's, like, the thing that
the ones that come out of nowhere, as I say, like the Diaz one, like, and then people are like, oh, who is he and stuff, and we work really hard to do as much as possible, like, on them. So I wasn't even in work, that wasn't meant to be in work that day, was I? But sort of, you know, ended up sort of, it was all hands on deck, and then you're speaking to, like, you know, Colombian journalists and stuff like that, people who watched him in Portugal, and, like, I think it is just football fans generally, like, just can't get enough when we've got someone in, oh, what's he like, you know what I mean, and stuff, and people want to hear as much as they can, so yeah, it is, like, it is crazy, and sometimes every now and again people will, like, say to us, like, oh, you need to be, like, demanding more, like, transfers, you know the owners spend more money and stuff, and, like, it's like, listen, no one likes transfers more than us, because, like, you know, it's great for us, but, like, yeah, unfortunately we're not yet ringing John Emmy up telling them to spend any money.
What's been, like, the most viewed or listened to episodes you've ever done?
That's a good question. There's some mad ones. There's, like, there would have been the Barcelona one. was because that wasn't behind a paywall, so that just went out on YouTube. Obviously, like, like Liverpool beat Barcelona 4-0, and that's like, it's the element of surprise with us. If something surprising happens, that's whenever we see the most certain number of listeners. So it's probably that. But there's like weird ones, because like there's a Peter Crouch interview that just like happened in a little room in Waterstones in Liverpool One. It's done like massive numbers, and I have no idea why. Whether it's like just hitting algorithm on YouTube or whatever, but yeah, we're still trying to get the grips of like understanding people and what they actually want,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is, mate. Well,
the couch one, yeah, that Barcelona 4-0, like everyone, obviously just such a brilliant night for Liverpool, and so like that sort of did really well. But there was something recently we did as well with it was with Nivea, actually. We did something them on with Kenny Dalglish, surprised this guy in a nursing home, and it's worth checking out. I will sort of go into sort of too much more on there, but it's worth watching. Like, but Kenny comes to the nursing home and ends up meeting a 93-year-old Liverpool fan, and then sort of takes him to the last game of the season last year and stuff, and that's done really well.
That's our most like watched video ever, right? Because it's not. Like, it resonates with football fans rather than just Liverpool. It's not really it's Kenny Dalglish surprising him, but it's not really about the, so give it a watch. But yeah, it's transfers, like they just love transfers.
So speaking of transfers at the minute, like big topics, Anthony Gordon, just on your thoughts, what you reckon on 60 million for Gordon? Because myself, I don't know, I did want him to succeed at Everton, but 60 million, I don't think you can turn it down.
I always think with it, like 60 million seems like a good deal for everyone, as long as Everton reinvest all the money and reinvest it right.
Yeah. So like, point, is it?
Exactly. Like, as a fan, you're like, I'm not arsed if there's an extra 30 million sitting in the coffers for the ownership to use elsewhere. Like, as a fan, you just, if there's a player leaving, you want to know that there's a plan. And so like, as long as they've got a plan, and as long as they've got a plan on who that next person is, and like, you think that you can bring someone else in that's as good or, the other thing, it's just a bit of a shit. It feels like Franny Jeffers sort of like thing, doesn't it? It's very early.
He doesn't feel like he's got to that point where it's right to move on.
Yeah.
He's only just got in the side, hasn't he? It was his first start in the derby.
During COVID. Closed doors,
That wasn't that long ago.
That's right.
Like, yeah.
It feels like a lot of money to me. Like, for someone. When I watch him, you can tell there's something about him. What I really like about him as a player is that, like, he puts a lot of responsibility on himself, and I think like for young players, you can tell when someone's like got that bit extra. I think is when they're like, you know, they're not just, oh well, if I get the ball, I'll try and do something. Like, I like that he's demanding the ball. I like that he's like almost a leader in the team already. So I can see why people see a lot in him, but I just think if he goes to Chelsea, like, you know, is he going to play at first? Then how is he going to react to that? And it's just a mad transfer all around for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I had, you know, that money at Chelsea, like, that's not the player I'd be necessarily looking for. And so, because as I say, he just looks like he needs developing, and they don't really do that, do they? Do you know what I mean?
Well, it looks like they're loaning out Callum Hudson-Odoi, and I think he's a much better player than Gordon. Like,
yeah.
And if you're saying that, like,
more developed, so yeah, it is. There's so much I don't get. I saw the thing today that you might get like Gallagher on loan as part of the deal. I was like, that'll make it like the best transfer of all time.
He's a cracker. He's brilliant.
He's really good. To get him for the year and 60 million.
Do you reckon Gordon will want to go? Which, you think, of course, the money side of it, but do you reckon part of him thinks like, I haven't really done justice at Everton yet?
It's hard, isn't it, for people like us? Like, our dream is playing for our club, so it's so hard to imagine like doing it like 20 times or whatever, and go, right, I've done it now. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I remember speaking to a Blue, like, about my age. I'm obviously older than you, it's about Rooney. And he was like, I fell out of love a little bit when Rooney went to United, because he said, for me, like, all I dreamed of growing up, play for Everton. And then he was like, I'll get my family a box and all that, and they come and watch me every week and stuff. And he's just gone, like, nah, do you know what I mean? But Rooney was like, at least played like a couple of seasons and stuff like that, didn't he? And like, was obviously like on this big trajectory.
It's with generational talent.
Yeah, I just like, as I say, like, I don't get why, if he does want to go, and maybe it is, maybe he's being encouraged because the money source is so good or whatever, but I don't get like how that could be your dream your whole life, sort of growing up, and then so soon you'd be like, right, I've done that now, I'm going to go and do this. Like,
allegedly he's a Red, isn't he?
Have you not seen the photo? No, I think it's him with Liverpool scarf on, but on Wembley way. Oh, is it not like Dave Gerrard when he's got that Everton kit?
Yeah. I love these, by the way. There's these, like, obviously Carragher's the big one. There's the, like, there's Chavy Trent and whether, like, when he was young, like, whether he was a blue and stuff like that. I love all that, like.
Yeah. It was confirmed for one of our
podcasts. Yeah, that's confirmed for one of our podcasts.
Fair play. Gerrard and the kits with all the trophies.
Hold on, did I have I heard that in your? I might have heard that in your. You're just encouraging.
You're saying to me at the screen.
No, it feels like a shit as well. Like for kids, like growing up, like you say, like you've dreams to play for the team you support, and then there's this like
I know he's done kids it, he's physically done it, but like you know you want to do for a bit more.
But also, I just think it's so important. Like whenever there are like these kids, other than the your Everton Youth Academy, or like growing up kicking the ball about in the streets, that they look and they see someone, they see a bit of themselves, and like they see someone that's like by their house. And then for him to get off so early, I think if he's as good as what he thinks he is to make the move now, then surely he'd still have got the move another year. Surely he'd maybe even do a couple of seasons at Everton if he. I mean, apparently he's a red, so maybe that's not. it's a mad one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like with me now, I just sort of look at football a lot more black and white now. Like the way I see it, even if he did have a cracking season at Everton this year, you just go next year, won't he? Like,
yeah.
Unless we are like. Somehow got Champions League, which let's be honest, isn't probably going to happen anytime soon.
Top half would be lucky really. Sadly.
But, half one. What's the biggest challenge you'd say you've had to overcome at Anfield Rapton?
I think COVID. I think we're a subscription podcast, and that's the big chunk of our revenue. That's like what pays everyone's wages and what means we can employ 12 people. And so like whenever the footy stopped, and obviously the footy stopped at the worst time possible, because like we were on this like wave of Liverpool about to win the league, they're 25 points clear and all of that, and then just suddenly it stops. And obviously there were like bigger problems during COVID than that but for businesses, like especially like us, like that was a massive challenge, because suddenly the thing that all our content centered around was gone, and we didn't know when it was going to come back, and suddenly we weren't able to get in a studio together because we weren't allowed because you're in lockdown, so we had to adjust to that. And that we were talking off air about like the getting on like Zoom calls and doing podcasts and stuff, and you know what it's like, like when you're chatting and then there's like a delay and then someone goes in and then someone's internet connection goes and there's not, it's just it's not the same thing. But so coming through that and then just having to adapt to that, really, I think
Yeah, COVID's the right answer. Yeah, but both in terms of like obviously footy stopping, and then suddenly you're like, you know, we need to keep going. So how do we do that? So the challenge is creativity around that, but also like, you know, I see people are subscribing, but also you know, a lot of our people are like listen on the commutes and stuff like that. But then suddenly everyone's at home, so you know, you're relying on people sticking with you even though they're not listening to it as much, because there's not as much footy, but also. They just sat in the house, do you know what I mean? If you're in, you know, sometimes you will put a podcast on in the house and stuff like that if you're like doing a bit, but really, like, you know, as I say, people tend to listen, you know, tell us or driving to work or you know, on the train to work or whatever, and sort of out and about. And so it was losing that. It was kind of difficult, really. And also, like, let's be honest, footy, even when it come back, was a bit shit,
wasn't it?
Do you know what I mean? It wasn't as good. And so, like, you know, you're trying to talk about something like our best shows, I think. The post-match stuff, so every home game we'll do audio and video live reaction from around the pubs in Anfield. So we'll do audio in the Glenbrook Hotel, which used to be called the Stanley, and then video we've done in a few different places sort of around Anfield, depending on the weather, whether we do sort of in and out and stuff like that, and they're like, as I say, like really popular because it's people who've been in the ground. They're like Craig says, you're not saying, you know, you're describing what happened because everyone's seen the game, but you know, from your point of view, so people who haven't been in the game are like really interested to get your viewpoints. But even people who have, like, would be driving back and listening to it and seeing if like you felt the same as you. Whereas when the games were just on the telly with no fans, it, like, you'd watch it in yours and then all get on a Zoom and then go, oh, what do you think of that then? Do you know what I mean? It was just like, it was just a bit crap, and the footy you were watching was a bit sterile. You'd just be sat in yours, you know what I mean, trying to not wake a baby up or something, like shouting. We kept drawing 1-1. Like obviously when we
lost the least of our reason, we lost six home games in a row.
One of them was to Everton, wasn't it? What, we lost six home games in a row, and it was just like, I can't believe I've got to go on and talk about this again. And like, so that was, it was hard. It was hard to get the enthusiasm for it, wasn't it? As well, like, so.
Was there anyone like react negatively? Because you see with other fan channels like Arsenal Fan TV, I know like Scousers might be a bit different, but. Do you ever have anyone like negatively react to you asking them questions or like, why are you doing that after the game type thing?
We haven't had anything as bad as that. Like, we're quite lucky, really. I think it's because like we're not doing that outside the ground, like, you know, thing, like, yeah. It's not like
not videoing ourselves in the game. We're not like all the thing. Like, yeah, you're right. There's no we're not interested in getting clicks over like negativity. We're not interested in like Arsenal Fan TV, like their whole model seemed to be Arsenal being shit and then them all getting on a mic and grabbing people and everyone shouting about it. And like, I'm sure like half the views are from other fans because they wanted to laugh at what they were doing. Yeah. I think for us, like, I suppose because of like the way you started it, like the group of people, everyone could see that they were like match going, that they, you know, you could see them, like people, if people have anything negative to say to us, they can just say to us because we're at the match, they know exactly where we are. There's always going to be negativity. There's negativity in anything that's like interesting, I think. And obviously like the tribal nature of football, if like someone says something on a podcast and it upsets the team, then you're going to get shit from United fans, from Blues, whatever. But like, that's sort of just par for the course, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think how we try and present it means it is a lot less, certainly from sort of match-going fans, really. Like, and that's what you're talking about. Like, you know, it takes a lot, I think, for, like, the people at the game to sort of turn on us, really. You're more likely to get stuff, you know, just stuff online, really, from people who are saying, like, oh, you're not doing enough of this or that or whatever. Like, we're at the game, like, I think people can see, like, that we're all right and what we're trying to do is, like, good. And as I say, like, we don't really go down the route of filming ourselves during the game or stuff like that because we just don't want to, really. If I'm at the game, I want to watch it as a fan and do what fake, I've always done. I don't know, if you were filming me watching it, I'd be thinking about everything I was doing, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
It's also always really close up. Like, I don't want videos of me close up on YouTube.
No, I was never a flatter than that as well. I think it's how we present ourselves, really, and how we present what we do. And as I say, even though we're doing stuff, I mentioned sort of from around the grounds and stuff, like, you know, it's in a pub, it's in a corner, and people can sort of see we're doing it, and people come over and are then nice to us.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the questions we had on our Instagram was from Mike Holt, who has a podcast, Go on the Match podcast, and he says, how do you keep yourself sort of composed after the match, doing a post-match pint?
Keep your emotions.
Like, yeah, keep it, like, sort of professional.
I don't know that it does stay professional. No. I think that's the whole point. I think, like, nobody wants to... Obviously, we want it to look as good as it can be for a video, for instance, or we want it to sound as good as it can be on a podcast, but, like, the whole point is it's meant to be authentic. It's not... We don't want to, like, sit and go, like, do it like the news and everyone go, oh, yeah, no, that was good, wasn't it? Yeah. They want, like... Like, some of the most popular ones we've done is whenever, like, one of us is pissed or, like... Because we don't change our routine going to the match. Like, I don't drink any less if I'm on a podcast. I just... Or act any differently because then you are changing. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. I know. There's probably a few times I woke up where I thought, I should have drank a bit less before, to be honest with you. Like, it's always a bit embarrassing hearing yourself and you're, like, slurred a little bit there. Like, but then, as you say, people love it, don't they? And so it's that's what, you know... It's the authentic thing that people are sort of after, really. And if you ever started changing too much, then I think we'd lose a little bit of what it was about, really. But like Craig says, like, we do work hard to make sure that the recordings themselves are as high quality as possible, and, you know, either the video lads who are filming it are making sure that, you know, that it all sorts of looking good, or the producer, it's normally poor Andy, you know, in the pub trying to make sure no one spills anything on the kit and stuff like that and stuff. It's just making sure that all that stuff. But in terms of, like, the voices themselves, like, you know, we'd never say to someone, like, oh, you know, can't have any more than 4 pints before you come on or whatever and stuff like that, because it just takes away.
Or ever say to anyone they can't talk about something, because, like one of the things we do at the moment, we're getting, like, online, just because Liverpool fans are frustrated at, you know, not signing someone or not signing a midfielder or whatever, and people say, well, you need to talk about this, but, like, the Anfield Rap's a voice, like, we've got 90 contributors, and so it's just basically, there is no, like, Anfield Rap voice, it's just a platform for 90 match going fans to be able to say what they think in that particular moment. So like, we'd never say to someone, you can't do this and you can't talk about that, because then it's not like, it's not authentic. It's meant to be like the pub after in a game where everyone's just having the exact chat that you'd have, except there's cameras there.
Do you have any connection with the club? Like, did the club ever contact you about to do anything, or?
Yeah, so it's grown over the years. So at first there was like nothing, and then it was like a little bit sort of suspicion earlier then, but it's got closer over the years. I mean, we always obviously want to be independent, but like now more and more, like, you know, we've interviewed Klopp like it's over 5 times now, isn't it? Tends to just be in the summer, so the summer like we'll go to where the team go on tour, and part of the reason we'll do that is that we get better access really. And so here, like, you know, we don't get like media passes or anything, so we're not in the press box area for games. We're just in our normal seats, which is what we want to be. Yeah. You know, we don't get invited to press conferences before the game or anything like that. Like I say, not that we probably go, like, even if we did, but like it's very much a sort of, you know, we're fans and then the media's the media. But in the summer, like, it's a little bit more relaxed and blurred. And so me and Craig and Neil went out to Singapore and Thailand in the summer and got some really good stuff, because they've just got a lot more time to do stuff. You know, they're there to sort of, you know, it is a bit of a brand thing anyway, isn't it, these tours? And so we did Jürgen in the summer, and the club set that up for us, so we'll say we're out. If the manager's got any time, we'd love to speak to him. And the last like 4 or 5 year tours, we've got that, haven't we? So it's hard, because look, Liverpool's massive, isn't it? And there's so much pressure on them, and for any Premier League teams now, you know, just you've got to do the Sky stuff, BT, then obviously there's your own channels and stuff like that, and then there's the national newspapers and things. So we recognise that we're sort of, you know, fairly low down the pecking order, if you like. But whenever they can do stuff for us, they do, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think what John said at the beginning about us being independent, like it's really important that we are forever independent, because then obviously you can't, you know, the whole point of it is that it's fan media, and if the club does something that you don't you know, you don't agree with, like the Super League, for instance, like we had the pitchforks out around the Super League, obviously, because it's, you know, that's how we felt, and it made us angry, because it made fans all over angry. So, you know, we have to go at them, but like we have our relationship with different people at the club, and that's like, it's healthy. I also think they probably want us to, you know, if there is something that they've like stepped out of line, I think they'd like us to be able to give our real opinion rather than worry about like, oh, well, you know, we know this person, because we would just never do that. We'd never think, oh, we can't say this because, you know, we want a Klopp interview. Like, that's the people would say, oh, well, you know, aren't you scared to say something about a club because then you won't get your interviews? But see, if people saw our numbers from interviews, like there's this, I always use an example where we interviewed Andy Robertson, really good interview, and then we beat Bournemouth the weekend after, and the post-match reaction got better numbers than the Andy Robertson interview.
Smart.
because people just want to hear what, like, when you win a game, they just want to hear what you have to say. They want to, like, you know, if they're not from Liverpool or they're from somewhere else, they're not able to get there, they want to like hear and see what's happened. Andy Robertson, they've probably seen Andy Robertson talk on Sky before, and they've probably heard him. So I don't know.
What's it like interviewing Klopp though as well? That must be like surreal.
Klopp's like, he is a bit intimidating, do you know what I mean? Because he comes in, he's like, he's a really nice fella, and he's like interested in you and stuff like that. And I think with Klopp as well, because he lives out in Formby, so he's a bit removed from it. Like, I think he'd like to be in the city more and stuff, but it's just hard because he's so famous and you know, he's it's so big. He finds it sort of difficult. So I think like when he gets to meet like normal fans or whatever in a relaxed setting, like he quite enjoys it really. So I don't think he'd have done it so many times if he didn't enjoy it, but it is still Jürgen Klopp when you walk in, but
it's fucking massive. He's so tall. Like, he's like this tall school teacher, the way he has like this massive presence about him. I always remember the first time I met him, and we were like, he was about an hour late, like they usually are, like we're pacing the room and we're just like nervous, like waiting for him to come in, and he came in, like shook our hands and did a big laugh, and like, you know, and the teeth and all of that, and he sat down and he said like, what have you been up to? And we were like, oh, we were doing karaoke last night, we're a bit hungover, and he did this big laugh, and then he started asking us what our karaoke songs were, and then we went to him and he was like, country roads. But he's like, he's sort of everything that like we hoped he'd be, I think.
Yeah.
But like equally, he's not afraid to like, if he, you know, and he hasn't really done it to us. You see it with journalists and stuff. Like, you know, if there's something he disagrees with, he'll tell him. I wouldn't mess with him.
I think with Jürgen as well, he's worked so hard to like get all the club as one. Do you know what I mean? And he's like, before he come in, like there was a lot of like fractured relationships within like different parts of the club, really, if you could call it that. Do you know what I mean? Like players were seen as separate, and you know, fans, and I think he's worked so hard to bring everyone together. He sort of sees us as like sort of part of that, really, doesn't he? So he's always very good.
Would you say this is the closest connection you've ever felt to a Liverpool manager?
Yeah, I would. You know, as I say, I'm a little bit old. I keep saying a little bit a lot, to be honest with you. Ten years older than you, but yeah, it is, because he's. I think he walked in and went, "This needs to be like much better." And you know, there was stuff around. He got a bit of stick for sending the team over against when we drew two each with West Brom.
Classic, wasn't
it? Yeah. He was like, you know, doing all that, and like everyone took the piss, didn't he? But I think what he was obviously trying to do was like get this now. Like you stay till the end, because people were just like. I don't know. I know there's people leave early, football grounds up and down the country, but at that point, like, you know, we just go 1-0 down, everyone like, not doing anything here, and sort of streaming out. And he was like, this is mad, why are you all going? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think he's got people staying till the end now, and got people like supporting to the end. Yeah, he has worked really hard, and I think it's drummed into the players as well that, you know, if we can achieve a lot more if we're all together. And if we're all sort of separate, really,
Liverpool seem like a perfect match, and Dortmund for him. Where do you think he'd go, say, if he left Liverpool? Because I can't think of a club that suits him.
I don't know that he'd go to another club. No, I think he, like, the thing that you always hear about, like, whenever he joined Liverpool, he had no plans to become a manager. That there was that thing of like he was going on this big holiday with his wife. Like, you get the impression he likes it, like, likes a night out, likes a beer, likes a holiday. While with Guardiola, I just feel like Guardiola will just be like a manager forever because he's just a bit of a like a footy nerd. Do you know what I mean?
Loves
like
it, doesn't he?
Klopp would just probably go, oh, well, I've done this at Liverpool, you know, whether he stays until, what's his latest contract, 2026. Yeah. So he does to that and then decides to go. Might do like the German national team or something maybe, but I don't know. I just get the impression that he'd like to go skiing
to
and
a
stuff.
National team.
Yeah,
I think it's too few and far between.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's really hard to imagine, like, but it's hard to like imagine for us like Liverpool without him. So
Dortmund would have said the same. They'd have said, "Oh, it'd be weird to see like Klopp anywhere else." And then now he feels like ours.
The only other club that's similar to them is like Celtic. But obviously, he's not going to go to Celtic, is he?
Can't imagine that.
Yeah,
which, it's weird. It's weird because all three of his clubs. All three of his clubs sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" at the beginning of some mines. Sing "You'll Never Walk Alone"
as well, yeah.
Dortmund and then us as well. So maybe Celtic is the next one.
He might just do something completely different though, and that's you speak to a couple of people close to him, and they say like he might just do something very different, just to see if he enjoys it. Really,
he did TV and stuff, didn't he? Like before, I think it was before he took the Dortmund job. He was doing a lot of TV and that. Like they loved him on German TV, so maybe something like that.
He might be joining the Anfield.
Taking John's job.
Yeah. I think he's more likely to be Monday Night Football. Or like, but he's, yeah,
that was
he's,
a low bar. That.
He's more than welcome.
Nah, he stays till 2026, was it?
Yeah.
He stays till then.
I think so. He signed up now, hasn't he? So I think he's. You know, was it that? Was it?
Is it 2025? It's one of them. No, 2026.
Yeah, it'll be like over 10 years. Like, it's just a long time for any manager, isn't it? Like, it's mad how long Ferguson did now. Like, it's insane.
Wenger as well.
Wenger. Yeah, it's a good shout. Yeah, but like, it's like because it is so intense. Like, you used the word intense there, didn't you? It is like it must sort of take something out of him. But
yeah,
I think like we talked about like the COVID time before, and I think that kind of coming back after that sort of re-energized him. Really, if it wasn't for the COVID thing, I don't think he'd necessarily.
2024, he was talking about leaving.
Yeah,
there, wasn't
yeah.
It, so.
I think he feels like
he hasn't really won the league. Obviously, you have, but I think because they didn't have that, the fans, the parade. Do you think that's what motivates him to go again? I reckon he won everything else, hasn't he?
I reckon it's a big motivation. I think like the idea
doing
of winning
celebration.
Yeah, because he talked loads about the parade, and he talked about like when COVID happened. He said that, oh, we'll do that parade. We'll do that parade, and obviously like COVID went on like it was maybe a month, and then it was well, it's still going on, obviously, but like you know, it was. And next year we're in lockdown again. That would have been like ridiculous if we'd done that. But I think that was why a big reason why he wanted to do the parade this time, even though like we got beaten in the European Cup final. But like, I think that's definitely a massive, like that's a big thing for me. Like that's, I'm dying to be in the ground now to for that to happen, because like we celebrate. Like I was at Anfield, you were at Anfield the night that we won it, and like it was like, you know, it was emotional, and it was like the thing you've waited for your entire life. But then, you know, you want to be in the ground. You want to like, you want to see everyone the minute you leave the ground and have all of that. And we didn't really. And
did it feel like an anticlimax?
I think because it waited so long during that COVID time. Like, there was a point where, like, remember Null and Void? Like, the chat about that, and like, I'm sure that was you that started that. but like, remember that, and then like, there was just, you didn't know when it was going to start, and then it did start, and I think by the time it got to that stage, it was like, thank God it's going to happen now. There's obviously like a bit of you that, you know, like,
I think, I think it's funny because at the time it didn't, and then it's only now you're like, oh, actually, we missed out, because, like you say, like it looked like the whole league was getting cancelled, and then, like, because it'd been, like, such a boss season as well. Like, I think if the whole season would have been behind closed doors and we'd have won it, like, it'd have been a bit shit, wouldn't it? But by the time, you know, it stopped, we were, like, so many points clear, and everyone knew the title was Liverpool, and so, you know, you had those, like, you know, boss days at Anfield, beating City at home, you know, United last minute with the Salah stuff and stuff like that. So
you've been celebrating each week.
Yeah. So as I say, like that when that night when Chelsea beat City and we won it, like it did feel brilliant, and like the city come alive, and you know, I watched my mates back garden, and then you suddenly hear all the cars beeping outside and the fireworks going off, and it was great, like, and it felt great at the time. But then it's just only now, really, looking back, you're like, well, actually, do you know what I mean? Like, we still haven't had that thing.
It was funny, though. Like, I remember the night before it, Liverpool were playing Palace, and they won 4-0.
Yeah.
And because of COVID, and it was that weather. Remember the weather during the first pandemic? It was, like, unreal.
Yeah.
And everyone was watching outside. So I, like, got my TV out with, like, an extension lead, and was, like, I was on my own watching it. And my Sky Go was obviously behind everyone else's, and every time Liverpool scored, you heard like everyone on the street like celebrating or like letting off fireworks, but mine was like 2 minutes behind, so all you'd hear is and it's still 0-0. I'd know what was going to come, but it's like that'll never happen again, like that sort of like that thing, hopefully, like that thing will never happen again, where like it became this weird communal experience that you weren't together, but like everyone was trying to make the best of it in the streets and places like that. Yeah,
who would you say like the saddest player that you've ever had like an interaction with then?
It's a tough one, just because they are a good group, like this one. Do you know what I mean? And like everyone says it, and it's true for us, like they're all really, they are the sound to us, like, because they sort of recognise us now, because we've been around us, say, a lot of these tours, and we've interviewed a lot of them. Like, we did Tsimikas in the summer. He's, like, very, very funny, wasn't he?
Virgil's cool.
Virgil's, yeah. He always makes a bit of a fuss here and stuff like that, Virgil. And, like, he's, like, a big star, isn't he? And so, like, he's really good. Chamberlain, I get on really well with. Like, I've done a few things with Chamberlain, and he's good to us. I have a real laugh with him. But, as I say, there's none of them where we're like, well, are we sort of a bit, you know, standoffish or whatever.
I like Robertson, because he feels like a fella you used to play football with when you were a kid. Like, he doesn't look like a footballer, does he? He just looks like a fella from your street. And when you chat to him, he just feels like this normal kid. Like, obviously, because he's come through the way that he has, where like he gets turned down by Celtic as a kid, and then he's, you know, he's going through like Partick Thistle and stuff like that, like maybe that's made him like more grounded and stuff. He just feels like a normal person. I think
a lot of them, that is the case, because they've not had like, you know, the big 18 they were going to be a star or whatever. A lot of them have had like tricky rises to the top, like even someone like Mo Salah, you know, come over to with Chelsea and it didn't work out for him, and that's sort of start again. And so I think they are all quite humble, aren't they, because it's not been like, oh, you're the next big thing at like 17, 18 or whatever. It's only really probably Trent who was, you know, taught off as this superstar, you know, as a teenager. really. And so I think they all have got that bit about them where they all feel quite lucky.
Do you reckon they watch any of the players, or do you know of them watching?
Some of the, like, more the coaching staff and stuff, don't they? So Pep Linders has mentioned a few times that he watches it. I think he shows Jürgen certain things when they mention something. Like, he'll say, "Oh, pull Jürgen in and said, I'll watch this," or whatever. They see a lot of, the clips and stuff like that, I think, more, isn't it? They always say watch, isn't it? You use that word, like, rather than listen, like, because in my head it's still podcasts and stuff, and he's like, I watch your stuff, do you know what I mean? So it is more like, you know, YouTube or clips and stuff like that. Like, I don't think they're glued to it, like, don't get me wrong, but I think Pep Linders is the one who's talked about it the most, hasn't he, like, in terms of, you know, how I saw this and stuff.
He's
like
brought
that.
A book out, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think I seen a tweet last night, someone saying, everyone knows the tactics now because you wrote them all in the book.
Maybe that's what's going wrong.
I reckon the coaches at other clubs are a lot smarter than us. Do you know what I mean? I'm reading it going, oh, yeah. Like, coaches will know what's going on. But I actually, Klopp said to me, we were at this thing and I had a couple of pints, and Klopp said, I'll watch your stuff. And I said, do you subscribe? And he was like, no, because, like, we're a paying subscription service. And he was like, no. And he laughed. And I wasn't joking. I was like, it's only £7 a month. And he just laughed at me. But it's cool. Like, on the tour, there was a point where we were interviewing Curtis Jones. It was just like a mix zone, and he was walking past, and we grabbed him, and he turned around and he saw Fabio Carvalho, the new signing, and like went over on camera, grabbed him, was like, oh, you have to come over here, it's the Anfield Wrap. And it was like quite a cool thing that, like, obviously he's like a young kid from the city that's like grown up with like fan media and stuff like that, and it was just quite cool that he said it out loud, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that he wanted to bring like one of the new signings over to be on camera with us. That was quite nice.
Yeah, it's been a couple of times on the trips, especially where like they'll have like a mix zone after the game where, you know, they've played and they basically walk to, for people who don't know, they walk to the bus, and then they have this area where the media go and you try and stop them, and, you know, sometimes they'll stop, sometimes they won't. It's sort of up to them, really. Depends how they've got on sometimes. but there's been a couple of times where they've gotten to sort of walk past them and said, oh, it's their app, and come back. And just because, like, they think we're fans and stuff, so they want to help out. Mm-hmm. So that's been quite cool, like, hasn't it, when people have gone, oh, I'll do it for the app, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because they know we are. Just, like, we just ask them the same questions that, like, any fan wants to know, like, you know, we just, you know, like, they know that we're not asking them for like something that then we'll use in a story that's trying to get clicks online or whatever. Yeah. We'd never do that.
Yeah, it's always the headline that they're worried about, and they're like, oh, you know, say the wrong thing and suddenly it's a headline, whereas like we wouldn't like
just want to ask them what it's like to score a goal in a European Cup final or something, like,
yeah, we'll just have a laugh with them.
You had Salah, have you interviewed Salah?
No, he's like, he is the star, I think. He's the one that's like, he only ever does like BT and Sky and stuff because they're like obviously the rights holder. They pay the club to like get so many interviews, I'd imagine. So no, we've never had him. I don't think we'll ever get him, to be honest. Maybe it was the T-shirt.
Do you know the way you have members? Can you see the members?
As in, like, paying like subscribers and stuff. Yeah.
Is there any mad members who use that? Who you're like,
oh shit! Do you know, I've never gone through and checked. Actually, like, you don't see them coming through live. Maybe I should go and like type in all their names. Jürgen. I don't think there would be no. I don't think. I'm trying to think if we know of any like a Carragher and stuff like that. Like, says he's listened, and you know, he listens.
Yeah, he definitely would have.
No, he definitely says he listens, but I don't know if he pays.
It's got a subscription. I don't know if someone's just sorted him, because sometimes if I'll say something on a show and you disagree, you'll like text me like, going, what are you on about? There was a game where it was in lockdown and we got beat 7-2 at Aston Villa.
And
I was like, I just did a post-match show after, and I was like, oh, you know, it's hard to get worked up in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's like, I said, like, it's empty stadiums. It just feels like you're not watching real football, but he'd been there like working, and like, it was a night game, and then I got home and like went to bed, and I was like, got messages like, oh, who's that messaging me? And it's Carragher going like, you should have fucking slaughtered them there at all. And it got me, and I was just like, and I said, like, it's just hard, because it felt like you're watching games on FIFA, wasn't it? Rather than like real footy.
If you're in the grind,
yeah. But he was like, I was there, and we were fucking disgracing and all this, and I was like, get told off at like midnight by some, it's our second most appearance player of the the whole time. Like, weird, like.
That must be mad for you though, like going from like 10 years ago starting not to getting a text off Carragher.
Yeah. Carragher had been playing then as well.
He was probably my favourite player, like, in my 20s and stuff to watch. Yeah. Like, he was brilliant. And as I say, like, you know, in terms of Liverpool's all time appearances, he's second only behind Ian Callaghan, who's got like 1,000 or something ridiculous. So
I never knew he was the second highest appearance.
So if you could consider as well, he lost like an almost the whole season with a broken leg as well. Is incredible. And so, he was probably my favorite player when I was like, you know, with my early 20s and stuff like that. So now, like, he was probably the first big name who like really supported what we did. I bumped into him at just something completely different and said, "Will you come on?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll come on." And I gave him my number, and then I had a missed call off like a without number or something. I didn't think anything of it. Like, and then like he rung again and I missed it, and he left a voicemail that time, and it was a bit of an arsey voicemail. He was like, "All right, John, I've tried it a couple of times now and all this fucking hell." So
listen, he won the European Cup.
Honestly, basically, like, yeah, like he's thinking, "Ah, fucking answer me calls." But it was this without number, so basically, like, I had to get hold of his number from someone else and ring up and like, well, send him a message. I sent him a text just like apologize and saying, "Oh, sorry I missed you and all this, blah blah blah," and then he did come on. But as I say, that was 2014, so we'd only been going a couple of years then, so he was probably one of the first big names. He was like, "Yeah, I'll come on." And then even now, we did something with him last week. We're doing something on Year Klopp, we're trying to pull together, and message him saying, "Will you do it?" He was like, "Yeah, of course, and we'll always help." And that's boss, like, do you know what I mean? He's like, he doesn't have to do that. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But I think a lot of people will say the same about Jamie, that he does a lot in the city.
Yeah,
you know, not just
he's like, visible, isn't he?
Good day about that, good like Ronaldo exchange. Stupid that way,
but he'll just laugh at stuff like that. Like, it's just funny.
Why is Ronaldo doing that though? At his age,
I know. You think after everything he's won, like, you just. I don't know, but
do you reckon he boosted the ball over on purpose just to do that?
Do you reckon?
He planned it.
I mean, it's possible, It is possible.
I didn't even force that, you know.
No.
From the way he's miscontrolled the ball that much.
Yeah,
it's possible.
What did you think of the match then the other day? Obviously, lost. What's the issue? What do you think? Why is the difference between this season and last season?
That's the hard bit at the moment, because, like, you're. I'd almost rather it was like a mistake from one player, or there was like a gaping like problem that means Sancho goes and scores, but like you're watching it and you're like, "The fuck's Milner doing? What's Van Dijk doing?" But like, just nothing about it. There was no cohesion in any aspect of it. And like when Liverpool have been good over the past 5 years, it's when the entire team's like, you know, intense and you can see like there's real purpose about everything they're doing. And like United, it just looked, it was just a shambles all over. Yeah.
It's like, I just wasn't expecting it at all, not just that game, but our start generally, because, you know, obviously last season it had gone really well, and then, you know, the pre-season seemed fine, but then the Community Shield, they played really, really well, and so you thought, "Oh, here we go, we're going to have another boss season here," and then they've just been like, they were so poor against Fulham, but then a little bit better against Palace, but obviously the sending off happens, and then... and then just crap against United, and like Craig says, it's just hard to put your finger on what it is. Like, the intensity doesn't seem to be quite there. You know, whether there's a little bit of fire gone out of them, do you know what I mean? A little bit of that hunger that's maybe not quite there. I don't know. Like, Jürgen's talking about the attitude and stuff like that, which is like he hasn't since he joined. And so, you know, there is injuries, but then, you know, every team has injuries, don't they? And you look at the teams we're putting out, and you think, well, the good teams, they should be playing much better than sort of what they are, really. So, I don't know. You just hope they sort it out sooner rather than later, because everyone can have, like, a bad period in a season, and maybe this is ours, but when it's your first three games, it's hard, isn't it? Because you're like, well, are they going to, when are they going to turn it
around? Especially in this league, because you've got to be perfect.
I know. Now, haven't you? It's like, Man City's like a dark cloud over everything good you do, because you know that, like, it's going to be a 93-94 to win the league, and it's like when you start like this, it's a bit depressing. Yeah. So thanks for asking. Like, we also could have done without our new striker headbutting someone on his second appearance
of him. Of his play,
I just haven't seen enough of him. Like, the thing I liked about him in the City game and the Fulham game was like, he just brought a bit of chaos. Like, we were still learning how to play with him, but like, they didn't know how to deal with him, and he scores against City and he scores against Fulham. And like, I think it's just going to take a little bit of time, and I think like, he's obviously feeling like a bit of pressure coming in, like on that price tag and everything. I thought the two goals would like calm him down a bit, but the first home game, like for that to happen and just you know, let his emotions sort of run. And I love a gnarly South American striker, like after Suarez, yeah, and stuff like that. Like I love a bit of a, like I love like that like mentality they've got of win at all costs and stuff. Whenever they're on your team, you hate them. Whenever you're playing, yeah, against them, but yeah, with the time will tell. Really, might take a little bit of time. I think he's back for the derby. I think that's his first.
Yeah. We all know what's going to happen there.
See a mile off. What do you think the best derby goal ever is?
Ooh. Is it the best or favourite?
Let's go
do
the best.
Both. Do both.
The best. Oh, it's hard.
They both be Liverpool ones anyway. Like,
I'm not going to say the best. The first one that jumped into my head was Jota last season, and that's not the best. That's not the best ever. But I love like the little turn and then like the finish and everything. It's like, if I could score a goal in the derby, it would be like that, the way he turns him and then he hits us. That's the first one that comes to my head. I'm trying to think what the best one is, though.
My favourite is the Gary Mack one in 2001. And you were all too young, but I was in the ground for that, and that was incredible, because it was a great season after Liverpool as well. We won three cups and we went on a real run after that game and ended up coming third, which meant we qualified for Champions League and did that. So that's sort of, you know, probably my favourite. And but in terms of the best,
the Gerrard one at Goodison's good, the one that he like takes out and then sticks it in
skin
the top corner.
Yeah.
That's 2002 or three, I think it was. Yeah. Well, it might have even been
2001, is it?
So just the same year, but next season.
Next
season.
Yeah. What about you? What's your?
I'd probably say the Jagielka one.
I knew you were going to say Jagielka. I was right behind it. The minute he hits it, it's like, fuck's sake. Well, it's an equaliser as well.
I must have been about 12 at the time, and I weren't there, and I had Sky Gillette Soccer Saturday on downstairs, and I could hear that from downstairs, and my stream was behind. So I heard downstairs commotion, and I was like, oh, it's going to be 2-0 this year. Then I fill in. You could have done that another 1,000 times. That's probably my probably best and favourite. What do you reckon?
It's got to be Dan Gosling, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be that.
He doesn't score many, do you?
No, he doesn't score. Or Jelovic. When he scored at Wembley, I thought, yeah, we've got them. But at that time, but then obviously...
You were in the Liverpool end for
that. Yeah, I was in the Liverpool end for that. Because my uncle's a red, but his mate didn't go and he had a season ticket. So we had a spare ticket. I was only like 12 and I was in tears all the way home. It was horrible.
You made me feel bad now.
So Andy Carroll scores the winner and everyone's jumping up and down.
Some fella jumped on me and I was like crying. He was like, oh, sorry, mate, sorry.
I suppose you don't think, would you?
Gosling's my favourite. And
Gosling's
was the best.
Did ITV, like,
I had someone on that night, so I didn't go and didn't even couldn't watch most of the game, but then it was like someone said, oh, it's extra time when. I was playing in a concert or something. It's like, so we all went to pub to watch the end, and like, yeah, I had it when the adverts went on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, crazy. I didn't see Alan.
I think it's the TikTok advert or something, weren't it? Yeah.
You've watched it on YouTube. Yeah. You've never gone back and watched it on YouTube. We just left
back it. There it was.
Yeah. You were playing in a concert.
I played trumpet, so I was so I was performing.
Yes.
So this will be coming out the week of like the next derby, so I think it's quite a tough one. Obviously we're shite, aren't we, but like, yous aren't doing as well as you normally do, so I think it might be a closer game maybe than normal. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we've got two home games before it, so our hope is to, you know, two wins and they can play well. It's Bournemouth and Newcastle. Yeah, obviously, you know, Newcastle you know, could be a bit of a tricky one. They play well against City.
Have you seen they've just signed that Isaac for $60 million today? Yeah, well, that's mad.
Yeah,
that's
good. Yeah, he's a good striker. So
Swedish.
So he's a good striker. So, you know, they're putting together a decent team, aren't they? But you still want to be beating them at home, really. So I think for us, like, the derby, like, they say the phone book goes out the window and all that, but it's a bit of a cliche. I think you want to be going in playing well, really. Yeah. You want to be going in being confident. So I think for me, it's just all about how these next games go, really, yeah. Sort of how we're feeling going into it. If we can get a couple of wins and start to look a little bit better, obviously the big fellow from being back as well, then you're going in confidence. But if we can't, then it's the last game you want, isn't it, when you're sort of not playing well. Like, so, yeah, it's hard to get too confident about it at the moment because we've just not sort of played that well that season. And, you know, Craig mentioned last year, obviously we had a good win last year, but the few years before that, there's
like it's 0-0 every time. Like draws, that's the it's the only time I get a bet up in the seasons when I bet on 0-0 in the Goodison Derby, apart from last season. No, I think you're right. It's hard to sort of say because you don't know at this stage, like what you end up doing in the transfer window and what happens with Anthony Gordon or has that gone through?
No,
it hasn't gone through. Whether we get a midfielder, how we do in the next two games. So I'm not going to make any predictions in the next two games in case we're made to look silly on this. I don't think last season's going to happen again because I just don't think they'll let it. I just don't think they'll let that happen again. And I think there's like the likes of Connor Cody and stuff coming in. There's a couple of leaders that you seem to have signed that you know.
Even the game at Anfield was much harder, wasn't it? I thought I turned up that day like full of confidence. The game at Anfield, and then they made really hard work of it. I know they won in the end, but it was a real tough game. You're talking about a game more like that, really, more like the Anfield one than the Goodison one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be one of those ones. It's going to be like a horrible sort of, you know, it might be the first team that scores that wins it. One of those like just horrible derbies.
Yeah. I have it today, like the weather's awful and everything. So it's just
I'll miss Goodison though. Like honestly, like it's. I understand why Everton are moving. Like because obviously, like you know. The joke about restrictive views and all that—it's true, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
I'm still on the wooden season level, but
basically, like the way they weigh, and there's like if you're in the lower, you need to try and get like nearer the front because if they're back, like the views, like a post box, do you know what I mean?
The Manet one. Yeah. I was at the Manet one, and I was at the back towards the back, and I couldn't see the other side. I could just about see him scoring that goal.
Yeah,
that was a horrible one.
I had to mention that one. Sorry.
So yeah, so like the new stadium, it looks class, and like it's gonna be like boss for Everton as well to like be part of the skyline. So I completely understand all the reasons to do it, but
be good for the city as well.
Yeah,
but it'll be a shame to go for the last time, like because you know not just like good memories there of the winning, but like just like the old stadium. It's just a shame to be losing them, isn't it? And like
I'd much rather go to one like that than the Emirates. I like the idea like of it being like a throwback, like you're feeling as if like you know that there's like loads of sort of like memories on that on those old pitches rather than like a new, like I'm so glad we didn't move. But equally, like I think that the Bramley Moore Stadium is going to be great for the city. It'll be great for Everton as well. It looks great. It looks really cool.
Yeah, I think we need that move as well because I think there is a bit of a waiting list now, which is
it's kind of mad.
And I think we have sold out every home game in the league for quite a lot of years now.
So
we need it, but I'm gonna be gutted when we move out because me and Alan Grant, I live by there as well, so we usually pop in there.
I'll be seeing for like the business and stuff around there. But I think like a new start as well, a new start down there. I think like it would be really exciting going into like a new ground and like get to be like a new match day routine and stuff like that. Bet the boozers around there are buzzing, they'll be so happy. But no, it'll be like it looks great. The stadium looks great.
I wonder what they'll do with Goodison.
I think that it's like residential homes getting put there, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's something like that,
I hope they do something like Highbury. You know the way Highbury's still got like part of the thing that they've built around it. There's still like a stand or something.
It will be mad when we move. I can't even imagine walking into a stadium, which is
Won't feel like the home ground. It would take a while, won't it?
West Ham had that. I think
days were slightly different because it was like an Olympic stadium. So they then got tried to make so it doesn't really feel like a football stadium. At least it's designed as a footy stadium.
The away end at West Ham's mad because it's like split into two. So song will start here, and by the time it gets to the front, it's like a different song. You can't get anything started. I think it'll be different. Yeah, you're right. That was built for the Olympics, not.
I've not been West Ham's new stadium yet, but everyone seems to hate it.
Don't go. The Spurs one is unbelievable.
Yeah, they've done a great job on that. To be fair, it's a really good job on the Spurs one.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's got Spurs, don't we? I've been for the boxing, but I haven't been for.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's brilliant.
We got beat there. It was 5-0 last season.
Yeah,
yeah. We never do well there, do we?
We have a terrible record
against Tottenham. Before we get finished off, any more questions?
Yeah, we've got a new section named "One Random Premier League Footballer."
Forgotten, like obscure.
Oh, and like the first thing I'm doing here is thinking of all the old Panini sticker books that you used to get loads of spares of the footballers, like Kiki Masamba at City. Do you remember him? He'll be way before your time. He's like 2003, played for Man City, and I just always had like loads of spare stickers of Kiki Masamba that I couldn't get rid of.
Oh dear, don't matter, definitely gonna be older. Like, there was. First one pops into me, it was Chris Marsden. He played for Southampton. There was a period where everyone just decided he's really underrated, this Chris Marsden. Like, he was like an inverted winger. And then Gordon Strachan was the manager, remembering me, and asked about him, and some said he's really underrated. He went, everyone keeps saying he's underrated. If everyone thinks he's underrated, then surely he's just rated. Like, that is it, yeah. You know what I mean? If everyone just keeps talking about him. So, yeah, Chris Marsden is the one who pops into my head. Yeah, inverted winger before they were cool.
Do you know what, though? You know when you watch the old, like, the Premier League years and stuff like that? Franny Jeffers is one of the maddest, like, footballing stories, I think. Like the way he sort of, like, shoots in the start and then, like, goes dark.
Yeah, I think podcast, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would, yeah. If he's watching. Go and speak to the boys here.
Sure, random Premier League footballer. I know who mine is. I seen Ellis commented the other day, Matthew Everington.
Oh yeah, it's good.
Marlon Haywood. And
this is another one which seems to do boss on TikTok, most underrated Premier League goal.
Ooh.
Just because it didn't matter, Christian Benteke against Man United.
That's a really good one.
No one cares. Like, but like, what a belter. But because you lose at Old Trafford, no one cares.
Yeah.
There's one against us, Eric Edmond at Anfield. Oh, I remember. Yeah. If TikTok haven't seen it, because it'll be before anyone on TikTok's time, he just blams this one. It's like, it's too far. It's not like a 30 yarder, because it's too far out to be a 30 yarder. It's like, it shouldn't go in, but it just rockets and goes in. It's at Anfield.
I seen one the other day on TikTok. Do you know Matty Loughton, that fullback for Villa, the volley against Stoke?
Oh yeah,
I seen
Matty Taylor against Everton.
Oh well, that's gonna do well on TikTok, you know.
Crouchy's got a good one for Stoke, where he like flicks it up and like bangs it in a bit, like Thierry Henry.
Well, I saw the goal the other day that I'd forgotten all about, Patrick Berger, but when he was at Portsmouth, scored an absolute.
The one at Charlton.
Flicks it up and smashes it, and I'd forgotten all about it.
Yeah,
that's seen Van Persie's goal at Charlton.
Oh yeah, that's a
classic. Yeah,
it looks boss away in Charlton.
Were they in League One now?
Yeah, they are.
They've gone back up Championship.
I can always remember Moriente scored, and like when he scores at Charlton, he runs over to the way end, and the way end looked like brilliant in the background.
Yeah, and we also have, what's your favourite pint?
Favourite pint. We had the Star of Pramen the other night, didn't we?
Of Pramen's good.
Yeah.
Madre's in at the minute. Like, loads of people are drinking Madre, isn't it? It's good. I like that Peretti. These are a bit hipster choices, aren't they? Moretti's the best one. Like,
I'll stick with Star of Pramen, stick with it.
Good shouts.
Yeah, so are we all done?
Yeah, is there anywhere where people can find you that we're watching?
Yeah, just on Twitter, the Anfield Rap, or Instagram, again, the Anfield Rap. We're on TikTok as well. We'll have to get some tips from you on the TikTok. Like, we're still trying that. But or download the Anfield Rap app, actually. We've got like all our podcast videos and writing and everything on there. So yeah, just download the Anfield Rap app.
It's like, nice one for coming on. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review on Spotify. It helps the algorithm.
And like and subscribe on YouTube. Thanks very much. Awesome.